bogus garbage. They don't have real answers for real life. They just want your money. They want you to think they have real answers for real life. But I get excited because I know for a fact that we have real answers for real life. So when we start talking about the subject of peace, I know that we're not talking about pie in the sky, that we're going to give you some mystical mantra to go say to yourself every day when troublesome times come, and you're going to wear a little crystal around your neck and hope that when you grab it, you're going to feel better. This is not about some rabbit's foot theology or some good luck charm. God wants to give you real, lasting peace in your life. So whenever I know it's going to be my turn, I just get so excited. I can hardly wait till the day and I get hyper and all that kind of stuff. And I'm pacing around and people are asking me before the service tonight, what are you on? Well, I'm just high. I'm just so excited to be able to share with you truth. You think, you know, how can you be excited to share truth? Because truth has consequences. And it's exciting what God's Word can do in our lives. It's thrilling to me. For the last 17 years of my life, I have experienced in growing measures the peace that God offers in life. There are many people in this auditorium tonight who've been experiencing that in varying degrees in their life. But every one of us would like to be able to experience it more. And we wonder how. What does it take? Let's just think for a moment about the world you and I live in. We are in a highly technological age. We have creature comforts that even I remember as a semi-older person, very close to 40. I remember didn't even exist when I was a kid. We didn't even have a television till I was 13 years old. And then it was black and white. I remember my friends had the early colored televisions, but I didn't even know what a colored television was like. We had those old rotary dial phones. Some of you remember the kind that you put one here and you put the other here. I lived in a town when I was a kid. We had a party line. Everyone could listen to all the wonderful things going on in your life. That was back when we were really believing in ecology and save the environment. We even shared telephone lines. I remember when you could burn your leaves in your own backyard. Those are the good old days. Boy. I remember when the only pair of tennis shoes you could get were a pair of black Converse. Or white. You had your choice. Now people think they're cool to wear. I wouldn't be caught dead in a pair of those. I used to have to play sports in those, people. They'll kill your feet. I just read an article the other day about Nike Corporation into the billions of dollars. They're overseas. They're here. They control the market. And I think the choices you people have today, I have too. And my children for comfort is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Man, you can pump up your shoes. You can pump them down. People can see you jump. Little lights flash on the back. I remember the first bicycle me and my brothers got. Little Sears Spider bikes. They were called Spider bikes back then with a banana seat on it. Remember the old good old banana seats? Yes! Wow, popping wheelies all over. Riding your buddies around on the back of your bike. $36 a piece, brand new. My father got them. I thought I was in the top of the world. Now you want to get a nice bike to $500. That's for starters. You can go all the way up to $3,000. All the speeds, all the gadgets. It's amazing. We make more money than our parents did. Considerably more money. Especially considering the fact that for many of us, we didn't come from double income families. Especially you boomers out there. We have some busters here. And we have some people who are beyond the boomer age. But a lot of you are boomers. Many of us only had one parent working. Man, we got two parents working today. And there's money, and there's microwaves, and there's quick food, and there's lean cuisine, and there's McDonald's, and there's, you know, all we had was Henry's hamburgers. 10 hamburgers for a buck. You remember that? Oh, the good old days. A loaf of bread was 5 cents. I had to walk 10 miles to school every day. Well, it was close, something like that. You remember stories like that? I'm telling you, I remember when TV was wonderful. There was Sky King, and then there was Flipper, and then there was My Friend Flicky and Fury, and then there was Superman, and then there was Tarzan, the Lone Ranger, Roy Rogers. Man, my Saturday morning was fixed. I'll tell you, it was fantastic. I just don't make it like that anymore. Now you got cable options. We've got all these things. Our education, the things that people know today. It's so much more than we knew when I was a kid. Things my kids learn in school, I don't even get. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But But I think about all the advances we've made, the creature comforts in our cars, my goodness. I remember, we had six kids in my family. Six kids. And I remember mom and dad in the front, one in the middle of them, and five of us in the back seat. And no air conditioning on the way to church or on the way to grandma's house 3.5 hours away in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yes. And you guys think you have it so rough? Oh, it's tough, isn't it? It's rough to be alive today. The point I'm trying to make is that all the things we have going for us, has it ever dawned on you that life used to really be like Leave It to Beaver? And we've got more things the bee ever dreamed of. And life is more tumultuous today, more pain-filled today, more anxiety-ridden today. Heart disease is up. Stress-related disease is up. Psychotherapists are up. And so what's the matter? I thought we were getting more educated. I thought we enjoyed the finer things of life. I thought we were actually making progress. It doesn't show in our lives. In all honesty, if we're really, really honest, if we'll take an honest look at society, if we'll take a look at our cities, a look at our schools, a look at our families, a look at our relationships, a look at business, a look at the newspaper, and just get an overall perspective on what's going on in America, it's very troubling. We have not progressed. We have not. I mean, I remember as a younger person watching guys like Jerry West and Bill Bradley and Wilt Chamberlain play basketball. And those guys played rough. But you didn't very often have $7,500,000 fines because someone absolutely exploded, lost their temper, and knocked someone's teeth out on a basketball court. Now that's called competitiveness. We used to call that dirty basketball. Now it's competitive. Now, well, the game's changed. The game's changed. You know what's changed? You know what's changed? Our values have changed, people. Our values have changed in America. They've changed. What we regard as good and wholesome is different than what it was 20 years ago. It's different than what it was 30 years ago. It's greatly different. We've changed. And so in light of all the progress we've made and all the new discoveries we've made and all the medical advances we've made, we are a nation that is more at turmoil and upset and angry at each other and ourselves than we've ever been before. Now, you can argue with me later on. I won't really argue with you. The statistics are overwhelming. All you've got to do is read the medical reports. All you've got to do is look at your own life, quite frankly. Be honest about what you're going through. I've had so many visits with my mother. My mother and I are very close. My father left some 14 years ago, and we were pretty close before he left. I don't know where he is. I don't hear from him much. But my mom and I try to stay very close. And so many times she said to me, she said, Mark, to be real honest, sometimes I don't know. She works in a bank. She said, it baffles me the things that young people are going through today. She says, it's a different world. It is a different world than when I was 25. It's a very different world. And you know what? It isn't a better world. Now, that doesn't mean that a microwave is better, not better than when you had to wait all day and put wood in the fire. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we haven't made advances. We've got a quantity of possessions that baffles our grandparents. But our quality of life absolutely stinks. Our quality of family absolutely reeks. Our quality of relationships stink. To the high heaven, man, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. We go from one destructive relationship to another. People don't even know how to have friends. And John was sharing the last couple weeks. It's like a revelation, the things he's sharing to people. It's just amazing. The changes that have come in society. You say, well, it's a more complex world. No, it's not. Now, I want to share something with you. Humans are humans are humans are humans. They've always been human. They've always been human. But there's one fundamental difference that has taken place in the last 50, specifically the last 50 years. I brought this stand. Usually I don't bring this stand. But I want to read something to you out of the book of Isaiah. All right? I want you to listen to this with me for a moment. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. and I direct you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like an ever-flowing river. You know what's changed in society? If you and I are going to be honest with one another, what has changed in society is we no longer care what God has to say. This book isn't even respected anymore. Our government, our country was founded on this book, on its principles. I'm not saying every person who founded the country was a radical, fanatic Christian. But I have a book at home of statistical evidence called Christianity and the Constitution, and the main influence in the Founding Fathers, the main book that all of them owned and read, their main source of information was the Bible and a man by the name of John Locke, and another man by the name of Blackstone, and another man by the name of Calvin. Blackstone and Locke were extraordinary lawyers in England at that time. And all of them had a biblical worldview that man, without God, is depraved. He will constantly degenerate without moral guidance, without moral certainties. Now, am I saying everything was peachy in the early years of a country? No. There were things that needed to be changed in that time. But I can tell you this, you sit down with your 75, 80-year-old grandparents, and they will give you a much different story of life than you and I experience in many ways today. I remember my school, and I'm not advocating what I'm going to say right now. I'm just telling you what it was like when I went to school when I was a kid. I remember not being afraid when I was in kindergarten, first, second, third grade in school. I wasn't afraid to go to school. In fact, I remember the public school I went to. Every morning we said, play the allegiance to the flag, and then the teacher prayed. She just prayed that God will bless us all today and help us learn and keep us safe and protect us. There was an awareness of God in our society. Have you ever looked at your dollar bill any closer than to see if you've got one in your pocket? It says on every single one, in God we trust. It says it on your little coins you carry around, in God we trust. No, we don't. That is the fundamental thing that is changed in society. And because it's changed, it is eating us up like cancer as a society. It is destroying us. It is leaving us with no peace. With no peace. We no longer listen to what God has to say. We no longer care what God has to say. How many people I have talked to who have had great disruption in their life because they finally decided to go get tested for AIDS? And the turmoil and the absolute pain and anxiety that pierced their heart as they waited for the results to get back. Why did they have to wait for the results? And why did they have to go? Because God has a moral law that says you should avoid sexual immorality, and they did not do it. And because they did not abide by the moral law God gave for your best interest and for the best interest of our society, now this person is bearing unbelievable stress and anguish of heart, hoping to God they don't have it. And I've talked with people who have had those tests come back positive and have had them come back negative. I remember my own self as a teenager falling away from the things and turning my back on the things that my mother and early on my father tried to instill in me. And I'll never forget the horror in my life when my girlfriend missed her period. And some of you know that feeling. Hoping and praying that she wasn't pregnant. And then wondering what you were going to do if she was. I'll never forget the time I was in Colorado, shortly after I graduated from high school, way back in the olden days. And my buddy and I were with, we met these two other gals who were hitchhiking. We were hitchhiking. We met them. And I knew someone out there had a car, so we were using their car and we were driving all around. And one of the girls pulls out this bag of grass. Grass, we called it grass. Marijuana. Whatever you want to call it. Weed, whatever you call it. And I never used the stuff myself because I never felt like I needed that. Of course, if you're around me long enough, you understand why I don't need that kind of stuff. But I just didn't want to do that kind of stuff, you know. So she pulls it out I said, you know, roll the window down right now and throw it out. It's like a $300 bag worth of stuff. I said, get it out of here. So we like you, but you get rid of the stuff. We don't do that stuff. And if we get caught in this state, we go to jail. So she got really mad. She threw it out. 2 hours later, I'm in a parking lot in Denver. And I understand, I'm not from the big city. So I drove out of this grocery store parking lot. There's a policeman. I waved at him. He waved back. And I crossed a double line and made an illegal left turn. I didn't know you couldn't do that kind of stuff. Where I come from, you just drive up the alley, drive in the driveway. Do U-turns in the middle of the road. It's okay. Not there. Next thing I know, I'm driving along and the lights are flashing, like Doug said. Man, you want some stress? Some stress in my life. Especially wondering what else they had in their purse that we didn't know. And a policeman, he wasn't very friendly. And he pulled us out of the car, and fortunately, we had just made up a lie, my buddy and I, on what we were going to tell my friend as to where we had been. And fortunately, our stories matched. But I didn't have any peace from that lie, because it caught up with me just a few days later. They didn't let us off the hook. How many times we've experienced unbelievable turmoil and anxiety and pain in our life because we were confronted with the decision and we based our decision on the value system and the morality, if you want to call it that, of our society instead of God's principles. Instead of the God who loves you, we went with the society who would just as soon use you, wad you up, and throw you into the trash. You know, the Bible tells us that the things that are noble and honorable in the sight of men are detestable in the sight of God. Now, we need to qualify that because it doesn't mean that family is detestable to God. It doesn't mean that having a family is detestable or the things that are really truly noble. But we live in a society, for example, that worships money. We live for money. We love to make money. All of us would love. I just read this morning of the guy who stood 75 feet during the Bulls game last night, took the basketball, threw it from that's from the opposite free throw, okay? Threw it and made it. $1 million. $1 million for a stinking basketball through a hoop. Is it really worth it? No. But in our society, McDonald's, this state, and everyone else realizes the way to entice you is to give you a chance at some free bucks. Proverbs tells us, don't set your heart on riches, for surely it will take wings like an eagle and fly away. And yes, it will. Bible tells us in Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. I did not say money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And we're a country that loves money. We want it. We want it. We'll do almost anything to get it. In business, we'll be unethical. And then we wonder why we have to drink a little more, smoke a little more, take a few more pills, go to the therapist, and we can't sleep very well at night. Oh, the peace, men and women, of living right. One little verse I've taught to my children, and we go over it regularly, I would have you learn this great fact, that the wisest life of all is the life of doing right. Let me read you one other verse found in the book of Romans. It says this. There will be, just mark my words, and ask yourself if this has been true in your life. If you ever wonder if the Bible's true, just ask yourself, did I ever experience this? There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. I don't know about you, but I can attest to that. I remember what my teenage years were like. You know, one of the infamous truths about us baby boomers is this. It's really nothing to be proud of, but it has to be said so that you understand one of the reasons we struggle with peace. We have been, of all generations, the most rebellious. We were the ones who started the free love movement. We were the ones who popularized drug use. It wasn't our parents, people. Let's not blame anybody, okay? Let's start taking our responsibility. We did it. We brought it on ourselves. When Rolling Stone and Mick Jagger popularized the song, Let's Spend the Night Together, and his big old lips are singing out there, man, and old Mick's rocking and rolling. Man, the music and the lyrics is nothing like when I was a kid. And yet we thought that was so radical, man, and so incredible. And we follow them hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, and we're just like Mick. Wrinkles in our face, drinking ourselves to death. And we've been through one woman after another. We got no peace in our life. Because money and pleasure don't buy you peace. They won't get you peace. Well, I followed it hook, line, and sinker. As a young teenager, I turned my back on everything I knew was right, morally and ethically right. I wanted to have some fun after all. I wanted to get a piece of the action myself. So I did. I spent from the time I was 14 to the time I was 19 years old. Absolutely, I was the most unbelievable rebel you can imagine. You can imagine it with my personality, with my temperament, and as fanatic as I am now, well, I was that fanatic the other way. I did what I wanted, said what I wanted. I didn't even go to school if I didn't want to. I skipped most of my senior year. I just did whatever I wanted to do. That's what you could do, man. And I believed in all this kill government, kill the cops, kill everybody that stands for anything, and especially them parents, man, because they're always in your way. They're always causing you problems. And especially, man, this Bible garbage. I'm so sick of Bible crap. I'm so sick of Bible school. I'm so sick of Sundays. I'm so sick of church. I'm so sick of God in my face. Get out of my life, God. I don't want you in my life. I don't want you to have anything to do with my life. It's my life. I'm going to do whatever I want. Remember that song, Sign, Sign, Everywhere a Sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? And the sign said, you got to have a membership card to get inside. Remember that song? You remember that song? Okay, I remember that song. And they go into the church, write a note and say, hey, thanks, God. I'm alive and doing fine. Up yours, God. That's what he meant. Just stay out of my life. I'm alive. I'm fine. I don't need you. I don't need you. And we have been sharing that and popularizing that and promoting that for the last 35 years. And we are reaping the benefits, if you want to call them that. We are reaping the fruit of what we have sown as a society, so that you ladies are scared to death to even park your car in a lighted parking ramp, wondering if you're going to get raped, if you're going to get knifed, if you're going to get killed. Because we have turned our back on God. I want to tell you a little secret. I learned the hard way, and I pray to God you don't have to learn it. You don't get away with it. You pay the piper. When it has to do with God, you see, the police may not find out what you do. Your girlfriend may not find out what you do. Your wife may not find out what you do. But God knows what you do. And there are certain laws that you just don't break. There are certain laws that you just don't violate, or it comes back on you like a flood and smashes you in the face, and it'll start breaking you down, and you're going to have stress in your life. You're going to have pain in your life. Well, I had that. I had that, man, for 5 straight years. To the point I just hated my parents' guts. I hated them. When the day I graduated, I put my backpack on. I didn't say goodbye to my dear mother who had given her life for me. It was in your face. I am out of here, and I left. She didn't know if I was going to live or die. And I just took off my buddy hitchhiking. Going to see the world, finally be free. And I just kept rebelling against God, and I just kept in your face kind of attitude towards God, and I don't want anything to have to do with you, God. And I didn't have any peace. I had constant turmoil. I spent a month in Concord, California, right outside of San Francisco. I went to live with my cousin. First day I was there, I'm helping her do dishes. And I put my hand through a glass. Got 22 stitches in my knuckle here, on the inside and the outside. Blood everywhere. It was a mess. It was awful. And for 31 days, I couldn't work, couldn't do nothing. So my right hand is all bandaged up. And I'm sitting in this motel, in an apartment. She worked all day. She didn't have much. Looking at the walls, listening to Simon and Garfunkel albums, being totally depressed. And you know what's really interesting about this? Real interesting. In the bottom of my duffel bag, in the very bottom, I carried one of those army duffel bags because that was cool. In the bottom of my army duffel bag was a Bible. And I would sit there day after day. I never took it out. I'd try to learn my guitar, and I'd try to think maybe one day I could be like Simon and Garfunkel and listen to the sounds of silence and all the meaninglessness of their music, which quite frankly was, it related to where I was, meaningless emptiness. For 31 days I sat and I didn't have any money, couldn't go anywhere. I just sat there looking at the walls, wondering what in the whatever in those days I'd say those kind of things is happening in my life. What is going on? Man, this is empty. California stinks. You know, my life stinks, quite frankly. It's pathetic. I know. I'm going to go back home, and next time come back in style. I'm going to go make some money, get a sports car, and come back. So I went back home. Bought a sports car from somebody I thought I could trust, and it was the biggest piece of junk I ever had in my life. It brought more stress into my life than I ever imagined. You know God will do that to you. Yeah, He'll give you what you want sometimes, and watch what happens in your life. I actually sold the car, still owing money on it, for less than half of what I owed just to get rid of it. So much pain. That's how I used to deal with problems in life. Just get rid of the thing, man. Even if I still owe, I don't care. Get rid of it. I was still going out with girls, and I was still messing around, and my life was going nowhere fast. Nowhere fast. One day I was driving on the highway, about from here to that soundboard back there, and I'm driving my little sports car. A guy pulls out to pass the car, coming right at me, this older guy. Real older guy. Probably shouldn't even have his license kind of a guy. He's putting along. Oh my gosh, my life's going before my eyes and thinking, I'm going to die. Whom I dodge over there, hit the gravel, wham, back on the highway. My heart's just pounding, 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 pounding. Thinking, oh my gosh, I could have just died. You know, I'm 19 years old, I could die. My life could have been over. And I drive a few more miles and I take a left turn. I'm going about 50 because you could do that in this little sports car, and it was kind of a rush to do. And it was ice. It was ice. Car goes, and going for the ditch. I'm going to die again. Twice in one morning. And all of a sudden, last minute, grabs the little car gets on the road. And I'm in this little town called Blairsburg, Iowa. That's where I worked in this factory. Little Blairsburg, Iowa. My heart's pounding. I take a right turn to go through the 5-mile-an-hour school zone. And my accelerator surged. On its own, surged and stuck at 60 miles an hour. Whoa, little car, then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill some kid. There's kids crossing the road and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to die. I'm going to be in trouble. They're going to put me in jail now. And my heart's pounding. I'm wondering, oh my gosh. And I try to lift the pedal up with my tongue. I put it into neutral and the engine sounds like it's going to blow up. I coast into the parking lot. My heart's racing. I'm thinking, get out of my life, God. That's what I'm thinking. I walk up to this factory and I open it up in the mornings. I open the door and I walk in and I go up, turn the furnaces, get the furnaces going, and I go back to go to the bathroom and I hear this giant whoosh. I knew what it was. I dove for the door. There's blue flames. There was a gas leak. Blue flames are filling the room, you know. About 15 feet out of the, you know what Reznor heaters are? Some of you know. They hang from a ceiling like this. They say Reznor on the top and they blow out hot air. Well, this is blowing out blue flames, man. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die again. And I dive over the steps and I'm laying there. My heart's pounding. I'm thinking, you know, I think somebody's trying to get my attention maybe. So I drove home that night really slow and really pondering my life. My life was really in major upheaval. I knew in my heart that I was breaking almost every moral law you could imagine. I knew that. Just like many of us know that. We know it. It's written right on our heart. It's written right on our mind, you see. We know it. So I'm driving home. Thought I got I called the propane company, got the thing fixed. Had a leaky valve. I got my cable fixed. The next day, I'm not going to go through it so dramatically. The same four things happened. Identical. And I'm starting to think, my gosh, this is getting real serious. This is getting very serious. I went home that night and I started to really ponder my life. I started to really think, you know, where in the world am I going? And why am I going there? And what is it that I really want? I want peace. I want peace. That's what I want. I want peace in my heart. I want peace in my mind. I want to be able to go to bed at night and know that everything's okay. I came across this verse in the Bible. I started reading it. I'd never read it before. Like probably many of us in this room before. The greatest book in the history of the world. Everything in here that you need to know about success and life and peace and joy and happiness. About a successful family. About successful relationships. Successful finances. Everything you need to know. Right here. I'd never read it before. For some reason, I was flipping through. I came to the book of Job. I thought he had a rough life. If I remember that from Sunday school, my life's kind of rough. I came to this verse. Yield now, and be at peace with him, and thereby good will come to you. Now I got to tell you, that verse hit me like a ton of bricks. That tells you something about me. I am very competitive. I didn't care who I was wrestling the kid with. It was my dad. I was not going to say uncle. I don't like saying uncle. I don't like quitting. I don't like giving up, and I don't like to lose. I like to win. And for the first time in my life, I realized what God wanted. He wanted me to submit and do it now. I didn't submit to anybody. I was a rebel's rebel. I did whatever I want, said whatever I want, worked if I wanted to, and didn't work if I didn't want to. If I didn't want to pay for my car, my mentality was just let them repossess it. Who cares? Why, it's the system, man. All those corporate heads, they're just taking us all anyway, man. They owe it to me, man. Like, it's cool, man. You know, I was into all that baloney, lazy garbage. You know? And for the first time in my life, and I've never turned back, I'll never forget going out to this river that I used to go to whenever it was awful. And I started walking on that river, and I'll forget, the tears in my eyes, I said, God, I'm done. I'm done fighting you. I'm done. Because you're a lot stronger. You're a lot stronger. And I know that I've been rebelling against you. In fact, Lord, I hate you, to be honest. I hate you. That's how I feel in my heart. But I realize that my life is empty. That my life is meaningless. And so from this day forward, I am going to find out what you want, because ignorance is not bliss, and I'm going to do what you want to the best of my ability. Have you ever asked yourself, what would our society be like if everybody did unto others as they wished others would do unto them? What would your marriage be like? What would life be like if we were kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just like God in Christ has forgiven us? That's a principle of the Bible. What would it be like? What would it be like if we really believed and obeyed? It is more blessed to give than to receive. What would it be like? I've asked myself those questions over and over and over again, you know. And I look back in my life and see the peace God has given me in my marriage. The peace God has given me with my children. The peace God has given me with my finances. The peace that God has given me in my daily living. I think about how many times, yes, I was tempted to cheat on my wife in thought or action. And yet I think I'm so thankful that I didn't. And the peace that God gave in my heart because I did what was right and chose what was right. I'm telling you, there is no life in the world like doing what is right to do. It's an extraordinary thing. Coming from someone who used to live to do things that were wrong. Coming from someone who used to live on the other side. Man, I'm telling you, I know what it's like. Some of you may relate to this tonight. The first place we've got to start for peace, men and women, is to decide that God is worth our respect. If you won't respect God, you will never have any peace. You will never achieve any peace because money can't buy you peace. Success can't buy you peace. Sex can't buy you peace. Parties can't buy you peace. Only God can give you peace. And the first step is to decide, I am going to find out what God wants and I'm going to do it. I'm going to yield now in my life and be at peace with God. I want you to start there. Now I'm going to share with you next week on how to have peace for the uncertainties, the tragedies, and the unknown things in your life. Those are hard. But the first place for peace is in the way we live, in the choices that we make. You've got to find out what God wants. You know why? Because all God lives for is your best. He longs to bring the best into your life. Maybe you're a single person here tonight. You want to get married so bad you can taste it. You've been trying one person after another, and all you're doing is getting used and using others. Why don't you decide to do it God's way? Why don't you decide to let God lead in your life? Why don't you decide, as Proverbs says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will bless you and crown your efforts with success. God never lies, never has, He never will. He will give you peace if you're willing to submit to Him. Please come back next week and the following week, because there's much more about peace that God wants to give you peace for here forever. peace for the day-to-day things in life, the things that scare you, the things that make you afraid. We're going to talk about that kind of peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight so much that you're alive, that you're real, that you care about each and every person here. I know so many lives here personally, Lord, who I have watched make, people in this room, some of the most difficult life choices in the world, and yet every one of them could get up here and stand on the stage with joy in their heart, great smile on their face, and say, I am so glad that I did what was right. I have experienced peace in my life. You wanted it for every person. You want it for every man, woman, and child in this room tonight. I pray, Lord, they'd go out of here tonight with a new mentality, a new attitude of heart that says, God, I'm tired of fighting you. The price for peace, Lord, is the submission of our will. If we continue insisting on our own way, we will eat the fruit of our own way, and it's never any good. It always turns to gravel in our mouth. But if we will give up our own, as you said, whoever will lose his life will find it. We can have peace you intended. Only will give in and give up fighting against you and start walking towards you. I pray, Lord, you just be with each person here. Watch over them this weekend. Give them a wonderful weekend, Lord. Help them to ponder and think about the things they've heard. In Jesus' name.